This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In girls, biblical sense, I am beyond repentance. Bang hooker,
sex worker,
wench, vow, metta, mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, I begins to gather to me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
That's a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm a prostitute.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right, folks. You have tuned into the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in the world that is publicly broadcasted and available online, as well as being available via podcast, that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers ourselves. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
If you would like to interact with the show, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427-JOY949, that's 0427-569-949, or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We would love to hear what you think. And tonight's show is a very special show. We are focusing on the topic on self-care and sex work, and I'm fortunate enough to be joined by a fabulous co-host, as I am every week, and tonight I'm joined by the fabulous Kath. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Christian. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Oh, all the better for having you in front of me.
You say all the nice things.
So tonight we are focused on self-care and sex work. If people would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour, they can do so by liking our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/sexworkerradio. They can also follow us on Twitter at Vixen Hour. And if you send messages to those social media platforms, we should be able to get them, although my computer's doing funny things tonight, so if you're trying to message me on Facebook, it might take a little while for me to get to you. But all of that aside, internet, bah, who needs it? When I've got the fabulous Kath Carter in front of me. Hi, Kath.
Hi, Christian. I'm excited to be here, I have to say.
I'm so excited that you're here. Like, I've had such... I have amazing guests every week, but I've been extraordinarily lucky for the past couple of weeks where I've actually... had some absolutely fabulous guests that I've been that I've looked up to. So, and Kath Carter is definitely one of those.
What a beautiful introduction. Thank you very much, Christian. Look, it's mutual. Aww. I love you.
Stop it. We've got a radio show to do.
Okay, all right.
So, Kath, for people who may not be familiar with the fabulous Kath Carter, how would you introduce yourself?
I would say, okay, so I'm a psychotherapist and counsellor, and I have been specialising in sex therapy for the last 23 years in Melbourne. So I see clients, couples, all sorts of walks of life, and basically sex education, sex therapy, talking about conscious communication, and also the Vice President of ASSERT, and that's a bit of a mouthful, the Australian Society of Sexuality Educators, Researchers and Therapists of Victoria.
Amazing. So tell us a bit about ASSERT.
ASSERT is something I've been a member for the last 10 years. It's been going since the late 70s. I'm not quite sure on that, but it's started off in New South Wales. There's a bunch of, we're all involved in the sex industry in some ways, mainly though medical. There's doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, sex health nurses, sex workers, sex therapists. And we are about getting people, sex researchers, and it's about getting the information out there that there are people like this available for people that need our services.
Fabulous.
And we have fabulous guests that come on to us to see us every few months, of which one of you have been on last year.
Excellent. So, as people know, it sounds like they do amazing work. It sounds like a whole bunch of fun to hang out with.
Yeah, it is. I'm also on the ethics committee of a place called ANTA, and that stands for the Australian National Tantra Association. It's a new association that's formed just to actually give something for people in the tantra community out there, that there's no regulation in that industry, and we're trying to give it some ethics as well and some values and bring it off that woo-woo part of what spirituality is.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we might provide links to both of those organisations on our Facebook page at the end of the show. But Kath Carter, look, every week I have a new sex worker in here, or former sex worker. Yeah. Now, did you want to talk about your history with sex work?
Sure. Now, darling, this is back in the olden days. This is before you were even a little spoimosa. So this is before you were born. I was a sex worker. So this is 1979, and I did that for around 6 months.
Yeah.
Wide-eyed, thought I was sweet, streetwise, really didn't know a lot what I was getting into. But you know, there's a lot of fun as well. So diverse. And back then, you know, there wasn't the word sex worker, it wasn't even coined. So, and the only places that were available at the time were massage parlours, but they were obviously deemed illegal.
Yep.
So I worked in what's called a wrap parlour.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
I know. What is a wrap parlour, you may ask? And I haven't heard of them since. A wrap parlour is basically where people could come in and wrap, as in talk.
Okay.
So no massage, anything else like that. It was a way of getting around the laws back then. And so it was men. It was only men back then. And we would start off with, you know, the showers and everything else as per normal, getting them into a room. There's lots of different rooms. And usually there'd be like adult board games, or you could talk to them and then negotiate what, you know, where we might go from there, basically. But I actually first started out in an adult sex shop. I was actually the manager of the sex shop in 19, and I'd have a lot of the workers coming next door, called Candy's Wrap Parlour. And they'd buy condoms for me. But interestingly, about back then, no one would buy lube.
That's fascinating.
I know, isn't it? In the 70s, it wasn't a big thing. So I'm not quite sure what that was about. But anyway, they'd come in and get their condoms, and I sort of ventured over to that other side where they actually worked for a while.
It sounds like an extraordinarily romantic idea that you would just go to a place to talk. Like that seems like such an alien concept of, like, you know, how you would woo someone.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, that was, well, it was about that too.
Yeah.
So, and for me, such an interesting time.
Yeah.
And I certainly learnt a lot.
Yeah. And you've stayed connected to the sex industry and other sex workers up until today.
Yeah, for sure.
And look, we ask this of every sex worker who comes into the Vixen Hour, recognising that, you know, if you apply one definition of sex work to everyone, that's a highly problematic situation, because, you know, one definition can't possibly accommodate for everyone. So we do ask here at the Vixen Hour, every sex worker who comes in and stands before the mic, how would you define sex work?
Gee, yeah, it is so diverse, isn't it? I guess I can only answer that from my personal perspective.
Which is all we ask.
Yeah, and for what it was like for me, certainly, you know, it's actually, a lot of the time, it was a really deeply personal and profound journey with another human being that, you know, sometimes didn't include even physical touch, and got to really see really into somebody's soul a lot of the time, and dealing with people that maybe bring up their shame. But also, it could be a lot of fun and funny.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, I am absolutely looking forward to the rest of the show with Kath. You are tuned into the Vixen Hour. If you would like to join in the conversation, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 569 949 or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We're going to some messages right now.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour. On Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and Kath, and tonight we are talking about self-care. So, what is self-care?
That's a damn fine question, isn't it?
It is a damn fine question. The idea of self-care has been around for quite a while. And in 1998, a special working group of the World Health Organization offered an inclusive definition of self-care. Well, what they thought was an inclusive definition of self-care. And they describe it as self-care and health refers to the activities individuals, families and communities undertake with the intention of enhancing care, preventing disease, limiting illness and restoring health. These activities are derived from knowledge and skills from the pool of both professional and lay experience. They are undertaken by lay people on their own behalf, either separately or in participative collaboration with professionals.
So dry.
Isn't it?
So 1989.
Yeah. And yeah, thank you, World Health Organization. Yeah. And I, you know, we were talking about before how you can't just apply single definitions to whole swathes of people. So, and I guess certainly when I read that, I was like, wow, that really doesn't say much. But, you know, that was, you know, 1998. So yeah. Fast forward, you know, 15 years later.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and for me, self-care, you know, personally as well, is very much to do, of course, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. Mm-hmm. But the other, you know, as I got thinking about that, there is also very much financial self-care and sexual self-care, specifically in the sex industry, but everyone, of course.
And, you know, financial and sexual self, like, why else do we do our job? And I think people would be very, are starting to become a lot more aware of things like emotional, physical, spiritual and mental self-care. But I think there are sort of areas like sexual and financial self-care that are very underexplored. So, I mean, there are a lot of resources for those other things, but with like financial, I find it interesting that you came up with that idea around financial and sexual self-care, because when I reflect on my own situation, there are probably two big areas that I probably could focus a little bit more on. So for financial self-care, how would you sort of, what are sort of the things that people can do to enhance that, do you think?
Well, I guess just being aware of where we are comfortable with our money and you know, like, for instance, if our car breaks down, we will take it to a mechanic to get fixed. Mm-hmm. But with our own finances, if we've got some breakdown around that, you know, do we take it to someone that we can actually entrust that with? You know, it's very much sex, death, money. They're all such loaded topics, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And so it's no wonder that we're coming up with them tonight too. So the self-care around that, I guess I'm interested in that way too, because I, you know, I've always had the self-belief that it's going to come to me. I've had, it's not my focus, which I believe for you it's the same thing, isn't it? And so I guess I'm interested in learn what I most need to know.
And it's interesting, we were talking before the show, I think there's a sort of resistance to focus on financial self-care because there's this idea that, you know, we're not free market capitalists, like, you know, we don't fit into sort of that mold, but and we want to, for me, I don't want to be part of that, I guess, that corporate industrial complex, you know, that worships money. But at the same time, and, you know, I live my life very much like that. But I think at the same time, like, I like money. Yeah. I wouldn't earn money the way that I do if I didn't like it. But I think it's around, I respect money.
Right. Having a healthy respect, I think, is probably the first and foremost way to go about it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And recognizing that it is an important thing. I mean, you don't have to worship money, but that doesn't mean to say that you would have that you wouldn't sort of critically reflect on your, you know, your the financial aspects of your life as part of your state of being. This is getting very deep here. Look what you're doing to me.
We get like that, don't we? We like it deep, don't we, darling?
So I think, there is, and certainly for me, I could probably do a little bit more sort of critical self-reflection on my own financial situation. But and look, there are sort of tools and opportunities out there. Mm. And it's good that we're conscious of these kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, sexual self-care, that's a bit more fun.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Look, I think especially, you know, as caregivers, we tend to be focus self-care to the people that we're caring about. So it's about their sexuality, their self, you know, care. And so we can easily go into burnout and neglect our own sexual love of self. And, you know, one of the things for me around that self-care for me is like asking myself the question, what does my inner lover want? You know, what can I give to her? What is she crying out for, or, you know, really dying to have or wanting to? And reconnecting in around that too. And it can be really simple things, but sexually it's, you know, the self-loving I can do for myself as a form of release, as we know. I mean, that's do the work that you do. It's a great form of release, but
And I think very often when individuals think of sex, they're thinking of, well, how can, and you know, certainly a lot of sex workers think like this as well when we're like working with clients, is how can I best respond to the other person? But this isn't just isolated to sex workers. I think a lot of people in their own relationships do that. Do you see examples of that?
Certainly. And, you know, I get a lot of people coming to me, or even, you know, couples that will come to me, and because they want to work out what's gone wrong with their sex life. And often it's about the sex is actually okay, guys. It's about what we need to really learn here is about how to communicate. So learning to communicate about what we want, because the body actually knows, it's the mind that gets in the way. So a lot of it is about teaching people about how to communicate, conscious communication.
Yeah.
And that starts with communication of the self from the self. So getting to know internally what we need and want, isn't it?
I did some training recently on professional resilience.
Great.
Yeah, which is, you know, and it was a really great way to sort of build things like mindfulness and stuff. And talking about, and we talked about like leadership and management and self-leadership and management. And I was thinking about that when we were talking earlier about sort of sexual self-care. It's like quite often we imagine we've got all these things that we would expect from our ideal lover.
Yeah.
You know, what would they be? How would they respond? How would they treat us? And when you think about what you want in terms of what you're looking for in a partner, I think it's often quite interesting that, you know, a lot of what we want, we don't do for ourselves.
Yeah. Or we want a clone of ourselves.
Yeah.
We want someone to be us, and that doesn't exist, unfortunately, isn't it? So I guess in that way too, it's also really enjoying the differences, not just the similarities, you know, as well.
Absolutely. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It's turned into pillow talk. I feel like I'm on a different radio station now. And it's like, time warped back to my teenagehood. We are going to a track now. Speaking of sexual self-care, this is Hot Chocolate with You Sexy Thing. From 1979.
I chose that exactly in 1979. It was a good year.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9, and you're joined by Christian, and I have the fabulous Kath with me.
Hi.
Again. So tonight on The Vixen Hour, we are talking about all things self-care and sex work, and I thought a really important part of this conversation would be, talking about self-care in the face of stigma. It's a big topic.
Yeah.
And I think it's one that members of the GLBTI community can certainly relate
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Mm, as well as sex workers. So for people who grew up queer or gay, lesbian, of questioning their gender or sexuality, and facing immense social stigma, I think people are very conscious of what that's like and why self-care is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment we know that mental health amongst GLBTI young people isn't as well as the broader community,
yeah.
sort of experiencing higher rates of suicide and a lot of those things. And I think that is a reflection of, I guess, the impact of stigma on someone's mental health and why self-care is really important.
Yeah.
So why do you see self-care as, from a community perspective, how do you see self-care as playing an important role?
I think as community, we really need to stick together, and it's not just even like you said, GIBTLQ community as well. I think we're really lucky in Melbourne. There is so much in community out there that people can come to, but that stigma still exists for those people that don't know that there is community out there also. And usually, it's also about having some very much unconditional positive regard for not just ourselves but for people out there that are doing all this hard work and to counter that stigma.
Yeah. Unconditional positive regard sounds like a very specific term.
It is. It's a Carl Rogers term in therapy that's used, and it's actually what as therapists use for their clients, but it's also what then for people that endure stigma then need to give themselves, to have unconditional positive regard for themselves. In fact, I love actually what my sister says, love all of who you are. You know, that part of, if we're being so stigmatized, there can be a part of ourselves that obviously goes into self-phobias of different forms. So it's love all of who you are.
Yeah, wow.
Can't say that strong enough.
Uh-huh.
All those aspects. In fact, I've run some workshops lately more on sex, power and the shadow for all genders, and very much looking to see parts of ourselves that are really marginalised, looking at different archetypes, you know, the witch, the bitch, the dyke, the whore, the slut, the prick. There's a few other words I can't say right as well, but
I know you've gone really well so far.
That C word. But, you know, how that gets, you know, such derogative.
Yeah.
They're used so derogatively, and yet that, you know, that part of ourselves that, you know, we need to stand up and be counted. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm sort of... even though I'm no longer a sex worker, these are my people. I've been really included in the community here as a way of feeling that we need to all stick together in all the different facets of what we're doing in the work as well as in our community.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm constantly saying that there are so many sex workers out there, and that I'm pretty sure everybody knows a sex worker. That it's just that the level of stigma that we experience is so high that coming out or being out is not an easy thing to do. So to create opportunities where sex workers can get together, it can be safe, can be open and honest, can communicate and challenge that isolation that that stigma really forces down on you, can be really, really positive.
Absolutely. You know, just that reminded me of one of my favorite ever books by Kate Bornstein, transsexual woman. She wrote what is it called now? Now I'm saying it, but it's basically a Hello Cruel World, it's called. And it's a book for freaks, geeks and other outlaws. And it's about 101 alternatives to suicide. Brilliant book. It's in a lot of high schools and colleges over in the States. It's easy accessible to be able to buy here through, you know, different online. Brilliant, brilliant book. Saved a lot of people's lives.
Yeah,
they've been very stigmatized and vilified. And
And that's the thing. I mean, the GLBTI community has certainly gotten bored around having this conversation around challenging stigma. And I mean, we've seen lots of different initiatives like the It Gets Better Project and other things that sort of bring GLBTI people together and, you know, showing that it's okay. Sex workers, though, don't experience as many. Well, the availability of as many resources. So quite often we do have to create them. One of those resources you're listening to right now.
That's the one. In fact, the only resource I believe in the world. Is that right?
Yeah, well, one that's publicly broadcasted mm-hmm. and available over the internet that mm-hmm. is entirely presented and produced by sex workers. There are other sort of internet radio shows and as well as small community broadcasts, mm-hmm. Which are amazing,
sure.
Totally amazing. But I think we sort of, the Vixen Hour sort of occupies a unique space in that we do sort of publicly broadcast so people can just tune in as well as download and listen to our podcast whenever they like. And they can do that by logging onto the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/sexworkerradio. We'll post all of our podcasts there. Alternatively, people can log onto the Joy website, joy.org.au. Click on the program grid, find us. We are 11 p.m. on a Monday night. And all of our podcasts turn up on our show blog. So, yes. The Vixen Hour is a way of connecting sex workers.
I was also going to mention, of course, the Festival of Sex Work.
Yes, the Festival of Sex Work
is... How could we forget?
I know. How could we forget? Is coming up at the end of the month. People can check that out at festivalofsexwork.com. There's a whole range of public events as well as sex worker-only events. So that's an opportunity to have both engage in a dialogue with sex workers and the broader community around issues around sex work as well as connecting sex workers themselves. So I know a lot of people are flying into Melbourne to be a part of that. And if you'd like to know more, you can log onto that website, festivalofsexwork.com. And that's an initiative of the Vixen Collective, which is an organisation, the only organisation that's currently active in Victoria that is entirely made up of sex workers.
Right. And it's the second one too, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, second festival this year.
Last year. Yeah.
It was, which was amazing. And, you know, it's not perfect. It's always a learning process. But, yeah, no, it's going to be a lot of fun. So there's things like art exhibitions and public forums, and there's lots of stuff that people can get involved in.
Looking forward to it.
Yay.
Yeah, I loved last year too.
Hi, I'm Fiona Patton from the Australian Sex Party, and you are listening to my favourite radio station, Australia's first and only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. You have tuned into the Vixen Hour, as we do here every Monday night at 11 p.m. If you'd like to interact with the show, you can do so by sending us a text message on 0427 569 949. That's 0427 joy 949.
Come on, text us.
Text us now. Or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au.
Yay.
We'd love to hear from you. Self-care and for sex workers. Now, there's quite a few resources out there on the topic of self-care for sex workers. And when we put the call out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sexworkerradio, Marco Frankfurt, who is an amazing sex worker activist out there all the way from Germany, Frankfurt, obviously, yeah. made a few really good recommendations. And I will go through some of his ones. So,
great.
Some of the tips he has for self-care is avoid being on duty via phone 24/7 and have scheduled time off/holidays. I think that's a really important tip.
Huge important tip. I know from what sex worker people have told me, especially working for yourselves, that a lot of time is spent on the phone, isn't it? Screening or letting people know who you are, and that can be very stressful.
Mm. And also like having your phone on like while you sleep. Like I've gone through periods where, you know, I would wake up and answer the phone at like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, just because I thought I needed to do that job.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
I think it is important to have sort of some time where you go, look, I'm not going to answer the phone right now.
Yeah.
And for me, for a lot of people, that can be really hard because it can mean missing out on work.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly I think that, you know, that you have to make a conscious choice of, you know, reserving some time for yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think, yeah, people need to sort of assertively make that choice for themselves.
Yeah.
It is called self-care, after all.
Because often what happens is that we wait until we're burnt out before we come to self-care.
Yeah.
And so these are all really good avoidant burnout tactics.
Yeah, absolutely. Prevention.
Absolutely.
Did you want to read the next one?
Yeah. Avoid living and working at the same apartment or separate private it and work. Indeed.
Yeah. I think and having two separate spaces is a really good strategy to prevent burnout.
Definitely.
I think if you can sort of have that those boundaries, and I think it's about respecting your own personal boundaries around that kind of stuff. I mean, some people do sort of live and work in the same space, and that that's not necessarily a bad thing if they choose to do that. But in terms of, I guess, finding, you know, some space that is yours and just yours is really important.
And that you can invite your personal people, your friends to come into it. Mine, I when I walk home from a busy day in the office, you know, with my clients, I can sometimes come home exhausted. And as I just walk and look at my gardens, it's just a deep breath. It's my Garden of Eden. I just don't have to be anything for anybody else except for me. And so important for sex workers too.
Yeah, you don't have to be anything for anyone except your plants. Do you name your plants? I do sometimes.
Oh, actually, I can't say it on. Oh no, I can't even say it on air. That one C word again. Mother-in-law's tongue. It's a particular plant.
Yeah.
And it's, anyway, and mother-in-law's C. Somebody else. Oh, goodness.
Next.
Okay.
Invest in personal growth / coming out / work towards legalization of sex work. I think that's an important one, just to show that I think a lot of it is about demonstrating that sex, it's not all about sex or sex work. Sex workers are human beings. And
funny that.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it? Really? And recognizing that, you know, there are sort of other aspects of our lives that need as much attention as our work does.
Yeah, if not more so.
Absolutely. Yeah. What's the next one?
Get professional support / help. Very well. Yeah, great. As a carer for me and as a therapist, I know how important that is. And for me, you know, I need to get professional support too so I can get myself out of the way when I am seeing clients. And that can be in lots of different ways, isn't it, through either therapy or I guess any sort of anything that we can take a load off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, for sex workers, it's sometimes it can be hard to reach out. There is a sort of a stigma gap that we do have to jump. And I mean, we've spoken about this on our show a number of times that, you know, finding the right therapist can be a really scary thing sometimes.
I am available.
Hey.
Just putting it out there. I am your friend. As a professional too, getting myself out of the way too and seeing each person is so different. That comes to see me, of course.
Yeah. And there are certainly a number of sort of sex worker friendly therapists and counsellors out there. We spoke to Cindy Darnell last episode. Of course.
Very friendly.
And professional service providers who are a part of our community.
Yeah. And also too, you know, like now with technology these days, I often will see people via Skype that maybe are working in isolation, can't get out. So that's also a good way around it. You know, there's certain ways you can get professional help out there.
Yeah. I'm going to put Marco Frankfurt is amazing and he has posted this whole list on our Facebook page. People can have a look at that. And if people want to join in the conversation, that's one way they can continue to have it. So on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sexworkerradio. But looking out on the internet, the amazing Arabelle Raphael from San Francisco and LA has sort of compiled like a list of 51 self-care tips.
Great tips.
Yeah, really, really amazing ones. We probably don't have enough time to go through all of them, but I have sort of circled for myself a number of them that I certainly can relate to.
I've circled a few too.
Did you want to talk about one that you circled?
Okay, I circled hot tubs, showers, bubble baths. In fact, I had one before I came here as my self-care because I was feeling, I'm going to be talking on radio. I'm feeling a bit, how do I self-care myself?
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways I did it. And today too, I was really busy and I had half an hour to spare between clients. So I raced out and I gave myself a half an hour massage. Beautiful. So definitely big circles, which helped me tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we can't be talking about self-care if we aren't doing it ourselves.
And the other one, I love number 7, Christian, decompressing with humour.
Oh, absolutely. And having those friends that, you know you're going to absolutely be in hysterics around all the time.
Dress-ups for me too. I love,
onesie friends.
Yes. Oh, went to onesie party not so long ago, didn't we? Pajama party.
I know. Uh-huh. Oh, fabulous. Now, one of my ones is spending time with other sex workers.
Yeah.
You know, finding your people, your tribe. And I mean, there's certainly enough of us out there. I think and look, I realize the level of stigma and discrimination is so high that sex workers can feel isolated, but things like social media have connected sex workers like never before. I mean, there are groups that are just made up exclusively of sex workers, and to just be as that real support for each other, so one only needs to reach out.
That's it. It's available and inclusive.
Absolutely. And if anybody's out there feeling alone and looking for those groups, they can certainly send us a message and here at the Vixen Hour, either through our Facebook page or through email, and we can certainly point you in the right direction. But speaking of resources online, one that I circled massively in terms of self-care is not reading the comments section, particularly of things like articles and blogs written by sex workers, can be a really, really soul-crushingly negative experience. Yeah. And I quite often have to stop myself from reading those.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, I read something just... in Saturday's Age, I believe, if I've got it here, it was just one particular line we're talking about examples of discrimination and impact on sex workers, or the latest Queensland legal, discriminating against sex workers. And the Attorney General, basically the motel owners took the matter to Court of Appeal, and they actually won it in the motel's favour. Yeah. And the Attorney General then went on to say he welcomed the decision as a win for business and common sense. That just even, a win for business. Sex work is a business.
Yeah. So basically that was a case of a sex worker getting kicked out of a motel because just purely based on she was a sex worker. Initially, she went to court, lost that case, appealed it, and it was proven to be a case of discrimination based on someone's occupation. And then the motel has appealed that decision, and it's come back, and the Attorney General has said that. And I mean, because we're not a real business.
Yeah. I guess a good counter act to that I saw, I was really quite pleasantly amazed and surprised in the March Women's Weekly, that edition. This is, what my mother read. But there was a number of articles, and one of them, of course, alluding to that very thing, Queensland sex workers, actually really good news story. Five sex workers being interviewed, taken seriously. And also in the same magazine, there was Eileen DeGeneres talking about being married, who asked Magda Zabansky talking about coming out. Mm-hmm. Also on a few pages in there was Erotica in the Suburbs. And this is where at least it's going to the mainstream somewhere.
Yeah.
This is, I imagine grannies with knitting needles putting down their knitting needles and opening up these pages. And that gives me some hope that if it's getting to the mainstream that way.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And again, it demonstrates how positive the story can be when you actually give sex workers the opportunity to talk about it. So, the last one I want to talk about was number 12, which was also passed on from another sex worker onto Arabelle Raphael. Mm. I try to explore myself and what I like sexually, trying to make more brain space for sex that is not also about work.
So important.
Absolutely so important. And I think certainly, quite often sex workers are so giving of their time, of their sexuality, of themselves, that it can be easy to overlook ourselves with that in that regard.
Yeah.
We have received a couple of messages,
Kath. Oh, good.
Loving the show, guys. Really interesting discussion. Love, Scotty.
Thanks. Scotty.
And another one from someone, from Brian from Footscray.
Hi, Brian from Footscray.
Okay, so you did. So here I am. The one thing you forgot to mention in your show was also that your show educates and breaks down stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating and challenging. Great show. Well done to all. Oh, thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Very
too
kind
true
words. Yeah. Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Oh my God, Kath.
I can't believe it's that time already. So much more I wanted to talk about and having so much fun, Christian.
Oh. People were appreciative of Amy. Oh, thank you for Amy, whoever gave her to us. Yeah. Kath, this has been an absolutely amazing show to have you on here.
It's been my pleasure.
Now, if people want to find out more information about you and your service, where's somewhere they can go to find out?
I do have a website and it's personalharmony.com.au.
Fabulous. We might post that on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
Yay. So next week on the Vixen Hour, we will be having the organisers of the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work. Hooray. So that is happening at the end of the month, starting on Thursday, the 30th of May. It launches from Hares and Hyenas, and we might post up event information on our Facebook page so people can find out more about that. But you'll also be able to hear from the organisers next Monday here on the Vixen Hour.
It's been a pleasure again, and thank you. I love your work.
Oh, sweetheart. Look, I try my very best.
You do.
And I said this at Pleasure Forum a couple of weeks ago. It's like, you know, I love sex workers.
Yeah.
Because they're awesome. And everyone should have the opportunity to hear how awesome they are. So it is my absolute pleasure to bring you the Vixen Hour here every Monday at 11 p.m. If you would like to stay connected to the show, you can do so by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also follow us on Twitter at Vixen Hour. Otherwise, you can tune in next week at 11 p.m. on Monday. Kath Carter, thank you for joining me tonight.
Pleasure again. It's all mine.
You've been listening to The Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.